You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Across the state of Wisconsin, Daybreak with Brian and Jamie is back.
Good morning. It's 7:06. I am Brian Noonan. This is Daybreak on the Civic Media Network. Welcome to everybody who's listening up and down the network. We appreciate that. Everybody watching on the stream and everybody listening either on your regular radio or the Civic Media app. Glad you are here. It is the top of the hour, and I know maybe you're just getting up, maybe you're wandering around, but trust me, there's some you need to know.
It's a wake-up call in more ways than one. Time for some you need to know.
You ever had something that's a good idea but done for the wrong reasons? Well, you're going to hear one now, I think. The Senate, the U.S. Senate, said Wednesday they unanimously voted to advance a resolution sponsored by Senator John Kennedy, the Republican from Louisiana, who sounds suspiciously like Foghorn Leghorn, to suspend senators' pay during a government shutdown, something that could give lawmakers a powerful incentive not to shutter federal departments because of funding disputes in future years. We have all said this, oh, they still get paid while everybody else doesn't. I applaud this. I think this is right. But hold on for a second. The resolution only applies to members of the Senate and does not need to be approved by the House or signed by President Trump. So good on the Senate. We're looking at you, House of Representatives. It would take effect after the midterms, so it would not apply to a possible government shutdown this fall, which Republicans think is likely to happen because of the deep animosity between Trump and Democratic senators. The Senate voted 99-0 on the motion to end debate on proceeding with the resolution, signaling that it will easily have enough support to pass the upper chamber. Now, Kennedy said he wanted to make the resolution effective immediately because he's, quote, very concerned that my Senate colleagues on the Democratic side are going to try to shut down government yet again right before the elections to try to create chaos to affect the midterm elections. With all due respect to the Republican senator from Louisiana, it was your Republican colleagues in the House and the Senate that refused to bring a vote. Now, the Senate finally did bring a funding vote to try to end the shutdown, but the House, you got to go talk to Mike Johnson, because he wouldn't even bring the bill that you guys in the Senate had voted on and passed on a bipartisan basis to fund DHS without ICE. Remember all this? This wasn't that long ago. If I remember it, you should remember it. You were part of it. It's the House. So it's a good thing. I like it that the senators have said, listen, if we're shut down, we'll shut down too. They'll still get their money. Don't cry for a senator. Senators still could get paid. Just like TSA agents and everybody else during a shutdown, they get their pay retroactively. But please don't, and I know you have to, John Kennedy from Louisiana, you have to put everything on the Democrats, but just do the right thing and then don't try to qualify it with just misleading information. All right. A conservative law firm has sued to block Wisconsin's ban on conversion therapy, arguing it amounts to unconstitutional viewpoint discrimination. The Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, or WILL, a very conservative law firm, has announced the litigation yesterday, saying it filed suit on behalf of licensed counselors who both provide Christian faith-based counseling services. Now, the governor, the Department of Safety and Professional Services secretary, and members of the Wisconsin Marriage and Family Therapy Professional Counseling and Social Work Examining Board are named as defendants in the suit. A state administrative rule declares it as unprofessional conduct for licensed therapists and counselors to promote interventions or methods meant to change a person's sexual orientation or gender identity. Will argues the rule essentially prohibits counselors from providing counseling in accordance with a Judeo-Christian worldview to clients seeking services that align with that viewpoint. Deputy Counsel for Will, in a statement, said Wisconsin's rule is virtually identical to a Colorado law the U.S. Supreme Court found may violate First Amendment in an 8-1 ruling in March, sending the case back. So we will go on. I applauded the governor and the state when they when this rule went through. I applaud Colorado. I think conversion therapy is a tool from the past that has proven to not be effective because a person is who they are. You can like it or you cannot like it. I don't know why you wouldn't like it, but that's on you. But we'll see what happens as this goes forward. All right. We go from the law conservative law firm, we go from the U.S. Senate, and we turn to our big story of the morning, which is, of course, the Wisconsin State Senate rejects the bipartisan deal on school funding and tax rebates. Now, usually we don't do this during As You Need to Know, but I got to open this up to you now. What do you think of this? Are you happy that this thing is dead in the water? Are you upset? Are you frustrated because of the perceived politics of it all? What are your thoughts on this? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. So we've been following this story all week, as we should have. A $1.8 billion bipartisan deal to infuse millions in funding in K-12 schools and alleviate property tax increases through rebates will not get to the governor's office to be signed because the state Senate failed to pass it late last night by a vote of 15-18. The bill, as you know, was described as a blockbuster bipartisan deal by the governor and Assembly Speaker Robin Voss from Rochester and Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu. So in that bill, the schools would have gotten $850 million would have gone back to taxpayers through income tax rebates. That would have been $300 for an individual, $600 for a family or a couple. It would have raised the reimbursement rate for special education to 50%. It's at 40-some percent now. And increased state aid to reduce pressure on property taxes. Republicans told reporters prior to Wednesday's session they hoped the bill would lead to fewer referendums in coming years. That was the big thing. We're going to give money to schools. We're going to stop asking people. And again, it was based on the surplus, the $2.5 billion surplus, and not touch the $2 billion rainy day fund. That was how it was pitched. That was how it was decided. But as you know, there were a lot of people coming out against this, and we're actually going to talk to two groups later in the show at 8:30 who were very vocal about their opposition to this bill. So we'll see what they think and where they think we go next. So all Senate Democrats and a handful of Republicans, including Senators Steve Nass of Whitewater, Rob Hutton of Brookfield, Chris Kapenga of Delafield, they all voted no, citing a projected budget deficit in future years, the lack of refunds going to lower wage people, and the fact that the money lawmakers were trying to spend had not actually hit the state's bank account yet. See, a lot of the people who talk about this surplus had never brought up that it's not there. It was always painted as, oh yeah, we've got this extra money. We don't have to worry about this. Well, now actually, the projected surplus is projected to reach nearly $2.4 billion. The state announced that tax collections through April are on track to be more than $300 million above those previous estimates. So, okay, we won't quibble about the money right now. We'll go back to what Senator Nass said. He said, quote, "The money we're talking about this evening, so the people back home and even possibly here understand that the $2.3 billion we speak of has not come in yet. It is a projected balance for the future. So we are sending out checks and money on what we think and hope may come in. We're hoping it will come in. I hope it does too. I hope we get more. We could get less because of the economy, which is already kind of tipsy." End quote. That from Senator Steve Nass of Whitewater. Earlier in the night, the Assembly had passed this bill by a vote of 61-32. As you're waking up this morning and learning about this, if you didn't see it late last night, what's your opinion? Was this a mistake to vote this down, or you got what you wanted and you're happy? This was not the fix you were looking for. And if it wasn't the fix you were looking for, Where does that fix come from? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. So, you know, for months, there has been negotiations between Republicans and the governor trying to figure this out. They touted this as a bipartisan win for the state that would increase special education funding and help alleviate inflationary pressures on Wisconsinites. Also has the potential to give state lawmakers on both sides of the aisle a major campaign talking point heading into a high-stakes November election in which control of the legislature is on the line. And I don't think I'm alone when I say I believe that is the more pressing issue rather than the actual money. When you make that kind of estimate that this money is coming in, you aren't just making it without anything to back those numbers up. You're relatively positive that that money is coming in. But we do have a very big election coming up in November. The three people who helped write this bill, Evers, Voss, and LeMahieu, aren't running for re-election. They're gone. So now everybody's looking at either being the champion of this or the people who helped strike this down. And they just want to kick the can down the road. What about, and I understand that there are issues, but I also understand that there is a compromise. Compromises are messy. Compromises mean that you don't always get what you want. Compromises mean that somewhere down the road, we have to look at the long fix. And that's what a lot of the opponents to this were saying. Hey, this is just a short-term solution. Yeah, of course. We've been looking for a long-term solution, and that hasn't come. And if Democrats are banking on a sweep of not only the governor's office, but a flip in the legislature to get everything they want, folks, we don't know what's going to happen in the polls in November. And if all of a sudden Tom Tiffany wins the governor and you don't get as much change in the legislature as we hope and think there's going to be, now you got nothing. You got no short term. There's a good chance you're not going to get any long term for what you want. So sometimes you got to make a deal with the devil in the short term to work on something long term. Because the long term only comes after the short term. Parker, look at me laying out geography.
Wow.
But it's true. You can look at long term problems and they do have to be solved and you do have to work on them, but can you do it in the short term? And while $300 or $600 for a couple is not life changing money, it's a little something. There's still the rainy day fund, there's still money left in the surplus. So we will see. Now, Alyssa, do we have time? We got about a minute. So I spoke to Alyssa in listening in Appleton, said she spoke to her assembly member last year during our child care advocacy march. She was very, very aware that there was no surplus of money. When I told her my story about the child care crisis, her words were, "You'll figure it out." Very disappointing. Yeah, it is disappointing. Now, you got to make up your mind. Is there a surplus or isn't there? So we'll talk more about this later with some groups who are very, very opposed to it. So, but that's where it stands now, that the bill is dead. The special session is going to be over as of today, and we're back to square one. So what do we do? Well, we do nothing until November. And then if you're a Democrat, you hope for the best and you start trying to figure out what you're going to do if the best doesn't happen and we only get the worst. When we come back, yes, we'll take a break from politics. Why not a little pop culture? It's time for Swipe or Stay. When we come back, I'm Brian Noonan. This is Daybreak on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to Daybreak. I'm Brian Noonan. This is where we have a little fun. Frank comes in. We talk about pop culture on Swipe or Stay. Frank, good morning. Are you locked and loaded?
Good morning. I am locked and loaded. We've got some good stories because it's later on in the week. It's not a Monday, so things are happening and people are out there reporting and doing their jobs.
That
makes
me happy.
We do like that. So anybody who's never listened to us before, welcome into Swipe or Stay. I know, crazy, but welcome. I'm going to read some pop culture headlines. Brian and Parker are going to have to decide whether to stay and hear more and discuss it or swipe on to the next one. So, guys, without further ado, let's get on to story number one. Celebrity wellness brand starts layoffs.
A celebrity? Ooh. Somebody who is preaching to us is not doing well? I like it. Stay.
Wellness brands. I feel well enough. I'm going to swipe.
Wow, Parker, you need more fiber.
You do need more fiber. You should eat some oatmeal.
That's what everybody tells me.
We're going to stay.
We're going to stay. Guess what?
This one's quick. That's why I'm staying on it. Actress right. Gwyneth Paltrow's wellness brand, Goop, has begun a round of layoffs at the company. Now, here's the twist. Here's why we're talking about this.
Yes.
They cited profitability, as they always do,
sure.
AI. There's no exact number given, but it's likely up to 20 employees at the company that are laid off. A spokesperson for the company justified the layoff, saying Goop, like many companies, is adapting to a shifting landscape and finding new ways to operate more efficiently, which is a great way of saying, hey, we've got computers to take over these people's jobs, so
people
we
are too
don't
expensive.
Need them anymore. Correct.
Right. Computers so I don't know need there's, benefits.
There's a lot of talk about AI and how much is too much and, you know, are we trending in the right direction? Is a good thing? Well, here's put one in the cons column.
Yeah.
Is that we do, we're starting to see companies look at and go, I think it's not only what's already out there that we can replace, but what's something new we can do so we can eliminate more jobs?
Yep. And people already had
more profitable.
Yeah. People already had questionable opinions about Gwyneth Paltrow anyway.
Yeah.
Because of this whole Goop thing.
Does anybody like her?
I used to really, really like
her.
Did
you?
As an actress, yeah, back in the day.
Just
in
Iron Man?
No, before that too. Shakespeare
Shallow
in Love.
Hell.
And I liked her as the wife in Seven. I liked her in Shallow Hal. I thought she was a really good actress. I really liked her, and I thought she was very pretty. Then she got Goop, and she was steaming ladies' vajayjays and bedazzling body parts, and this whole Goop thing was a little out there. And it's part of the cycle. We build the celebrities up, and then we love to tear them down.
True that.
True that. All
right, moving on to story number two. Billionaire takes shots at award-winning director.
Ooh, a little beef? I like it.
There is beef.
Parker likes beef. I'll say, where's the beef, Frank? Stay.
Oh, this will get the juices flowing in the morning. So Elon Musk is taking aim at director Christopher Nolan over his casting choices for the upcoming movie of The Odyssey.
Oh, boy.
Who cares what
I hear that,
is.
According to Matt Damon, is coming out nine weekends from now. That was part of his monologue the other night on Saturday.
The Tesla billionaire and owner of X started retweeting posts accusing Nolan of being a coward for casting Lupita Nyong'o as the role of Helen of Troy.
Okay, why? Lupita Nyong'o is a very talented actress.
As you could allude to, a lot of people on the far right wing.
Ooh, can I guess?
You can go ahead and guess.
Is it a pigmentation problem?
It is a pigmentation problem. They said Homer, the Greek poet who wrote this.
Oh, I'm sorry, wrong one.
Wrong one. regarded Helen of Troy as fair-skinned and that casting Lupita Nyong'o is dancing on the grave of Homer and what he would have wanted.
What he would have wanted. Oh,
so, yeah, man. There's a lot of grotesque tweets that Elon Musk retweeted.
These are the same idiots who got mad because the Little Mermaid was black in the live action. They're made up characters, friends. You don't, it's not a biography.
Also, Lupita Nyong'o is a great actress.
Great actress.
I don't see.
That was I said first. She's a great actress.
Too many people get caught up in too many things that just don't matter. But yeah, there's a lot of grotesque tweets. I'm not going to go
into detail
because it's really bad.
I'm sure they didn't think they're going to be mad that Matt Damon is sounding like Matt Damon and not some ancient Greek character.
Do you think he's going up to Scylla and Charybdis asking if they like apples? Parker, that's a Goodwill Hunting. Duncan. That's a Goodwill Hunting reference, Parker.
I have seen Goodwill Hunting.
All right.
TV star becomes pro athlete.
Ooh. Oh, I'll stay.
I'm interested. Stay.
Yeah.
Boys, as Richmond Greyhound Danny Rojas says, football is life. Ted Lasso star Christo Fernandez has signed a professional soccer contract in real life with the El Paso Locomotive FC. The USL Championship Club announced this over on X on Tuesday.
Wow.
We still don't have any details of the deal that was signed. He's 35 years old. He originally played youth soccer in Mexico before a drastic knee injury at 15 derailed his career. And then he went on to star in Ted Lasso as Danny Rojas. And now he's back. I know he tried out for the Chicago Fire and didn't make that team.
Oh, did he?
He did. Okay. But now he did find a place to land. So, like, wow. Good for him.
Huh, that's cool.
And you know what? 35, if he gets in a few games, he's a good draw for that for the El Paso team. And I don't know him personally. I like the character Danny Rojas on Ted Lasso. It's a great character, and football is life, Frank.
It's a win-win.
So, everybody in that story.
They're going to sell tickets. He's going to be able to walk away and say that he did it, right?
Yeah.
He climbed the mountain.
Right.
And I think that's really what this is about. So,
and he's
good
still
for
on
him.
A hit show that's coming back for another season.
This summer.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Season 4. All right, that's Swiper Stay, boys.
Thank you, Frank. That was very nice. It's nice to end Swiper Stay on an up note. A win-win for everybody. Now, when we come back, are curfews a win-win? Well, Madison used to have one. Should they bring it back? We will get into that and get your thoughts on it at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I'm Brian Newman. This is Daybreak on the Civic Media Network.
Fairly solid. Better than expected. It's Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Good morning. Welcome back. It's 7:35. This is Daybreak. I'm Brian Noonan. Jamie will be back with us next week. But you're here, and I would love to hear from you. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Do you think curfews are a good deal? Do you think they're a good idea for public safety, or are they kind of a discriminatory strategy? I don't know. Well, here's why I'm asking, because Madison, if you're in the Madison area or live in Madison itself, you know that there was a curfew in place before 2023. That would have been about when you were growing up, Parker. Now, you didn't grow up in Madison proper, did you?
I did. Yeah, I was on the east side of
you
Madison.
You did? Okay, yeah. East side of Madison. Were you ever worried? Were you ever out past curfew and worried that the cops were going to come and swoop you up, you and your friends and your malarkey?
I was never worried about it. We were not into too much malarkey, thankfully.
All right, no. Yeah, you don't want to be into too much malarkey.
No, you don't want to have a big brouhaha.
Were you? No. Oh, my gosh. Then you get into a Donnybrook, just turns into a whole rigmarole. So you don't want any of those things happening.
No. Don't want to cause
Welcome
a ruckus.
To Daybreak, where we use ancient words that have been out of style for decades. I remember always hearing about curfews when I was a kid, but I guess I never violated them or they weren't enforced or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, Madison had one up until 2023, and it's kind of re-entering public discussion lately because of these big fights coming off the block party a couple weeks ago, and then these teen takeover things that are happening all over because of the internets. So people are starting to say, hey, you know what? Maybe we need to bring a curfew back. Maybe we need to get these punk kids off the streets. And under a certain age, my dad, and I know my dad was not the first to say this, but he was a dad, so he just repeated things that other dads said. Nothing good really happens after midnight. Now, of course, before people go, oh, my kid works during the... Yes. All curfews have those exemptions, where if a kid is driving home from work, they're not going to be stopped for having a curfew. Anyway, so until 3 years ago, Madison ordinances barred children under 17 from the streets between 11 p.m. and 4 a.m. on school nights. Yeah, okay, perfect. And midnight to 5 on weekends. That's still pretty late for 15 and 16-year-olds to be out. I wasn't out that late when I was 15 and 16, roaming the streets at midnight, 11:30. You know, 15, 16, what are you, like a sophomore in high school, basically.
Yeah.
In that realm. So say freshmen and sophomores in high school. What are you doing out past 11 on during the school week? Even if you work at a fast food job, Most of those close at 10.
I also don't think you're allowed to work that late as a minor.
I don't think so either. Yeah. And you can only work, you know, so many days during the school week.
Yeah.
So, and of course, if you were at a school activity, I don't know what school activities are going that late, you were excused from the curfew as well. So Madison's Common Council voted 13-5 to repeal the ordinance. Now, at the time, Madison's police department had issued just 3 tickets for curfew violations across several years and said teens usually went home when told about the curfew. Yeah, and also, let's be honest, do we really think that's top of mind for police officers? Looking around and then trying to card a kid going, are you 17 or 18? Just make it a whole thing. It's probably, unless somebody's causing trouble, it's low on the priority list. Not that it's not a law and it shouldn't be enforced and all of that, but also if it came down to the list of things that police officers are worried about, a 17-year-old being out at 5 after 12 on a Sunday morning is probably very low on the list. So anyway, police again now are considering options like a curfew or age restrictions following large fights on State Street after the annual Mifflin Street Block Party. 2 guns were found there, so the police are like, all right, well, maybe we need to start cracking down a little more. What do you think? Is this a reaction just to one incident, or is this an ongoing trend? If you live in Madison, I'd love to hear from you. Even if you live somewhere else that is considering these curfews or has a curfew, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. So as I mentioned, 2 guns found at this fight after the Mifflin Street Block Party. We talked about that. How many people are under 17 that are going to the block party and then coming to State Street? I haven't been to the bars on State Street in a while because, you know, I'm old, but they used to card pretty heavy because it's a college town, and college towns are pretty notorious if the drinking age is 21. Now, back when Wisconsin had an 18-year-old drinking age, the bars were a wild west. It was fantastic. Bad decisions. Don't make them, kids. Use me as a cautionary tale. I say that all the time. I am not a role model. I am not Charles Barkley. I am a guy who made bad decisions. But the point being is, what good is the curfew going to do for the bars or for State Street? Yes, these teen takeovers happen. The fights, guns are a serious situation. But were the guns held by kids who were violating curfew or just by ne'er-do-wells who were out there anyway and would be carrying guns and they were over 21 and maybe it was college students, maybe it was not, maybe it was locals, maybe it was people who came into Madison from somewhere else. We don't know exactly. But, all right, if the guns are an issue, let's start looking at it. But is it a curfew issue or is it a crowd control issue? So we're looking at this. The Madison Police Department spokesman, Stephanie Fryer, said the department is not specifically asking the city to implement a curfew, but different solutions are being explored. That's what I'm saying. What good is a curfew going to do if the incidents that you're worried about and the incidents that you're citing as need to review these policies don't involve teenagers, people under 17? Well, then we have to find something else. So then what do you find? On State Street, Parker, you've probably been there more recently than I have.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be just, there was just a pedestrian area in there. Do they block off the streets at any point? So State Street, like on a weekend night, there's no cars or buses going up and down there, or no?
I suppose I actually don't know if I've ever noticed if it's actually like blocked off by barricades or anything like that. I'm sure that there is. I know I've seen it blocked off before. I don't know necessarily on like a Saturday night, but I think so, yeah.
Yeah. I'm using like the French Quarter as a
sure
thing.
Yeah.
And now the crowds on State Street do not get as big on a regular basis as that. But they do close the streets on the weekend nights because maybe it is a crowd control issue. According to the police department, their spokesperson said, "We're simply starting a conversation with other city agencies and stakeholders to see what we can do to prevent these large juvenile fights, and we are in the very early stages of these conversations." The talks come after police recovered a gun following a large fight involving teens on State Street. Is that 18 and 19-year-olds? Is it 14 and 15-year-olds? That led to one arrest. More fights broke out on State Street on April 25th after the Mifflin Street block party, leading to an officer being injured. I think what you need, what the first thing that needs to happen is the people involved in these need to be made an example of. You have to show, because right now you've got so many different things. Tyler, thank you, is listening on WMDX. He says it's only blocked off for certain special events. I appreciate that information, Tyler. Thank you very much. You can always jump in, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. So back to what I was saying, if you really prosecute these people who are involved in, you know, whoever puts them up on social media, the organizers, the people that are involved, if you're anywhere near doing anything to a police officer, you have to show that you're not going to put up with this. And I'm not saying, a military crackdown like they were doing in Minneapolis with ICE and all of that. But I'm saying if there's a need for an arrest, like these people with the guns, you need to make an example out of them. If somebody injures a police officer, you need to make an example out of them. If you damage property, if you trespass, it can't just be, "All right, kids, now go home and do what you got to do because, you know, we want you to stay off the streets." That would be the first thing, my idea. Secondly, you have to then start monitoring, and this is a manpower issue and it's a budget issue, and I admit that it's kind of a pie in the sky idea where you increase the police presence on State Street on the weekends. And yes, I know that, and I'm not saying in a military force kind of way, but you add a few more cops on every corner just so that there is a presence, so that if I'm looking to start trouble, I have nowhere to start the trouble because there are police all over. Will that curb some people having a good time? Maybe, but really, why should it? If the police are there and you're not doing anything wrong, and I know that's a cop-out in a lot of other places, and I don't mean it that way, but I think if you have a high traffic area, anytime you can have more supervision to stop these things, as Barney Fife used to say, we got to nip it in the bud, Ange. Got to nip it in the bud. So the police presence is going to nip things in the bud. Again, these are my ideas, Parker. I'm not a civic planner. I'm not a law enforcement specialist, but I'm a guy who's been in big mobs before. I've been a guy who's been out drinking late at night when I probably shouldn't have before. So I've seen it, and it's common sense. And you combine a busy bar-filled area with a college campus, with off-campus housing very close, and the potential for a lot of people to be somewhere at any specific time is much greater. So you prepare for that. And you do it in a way that doesn't enrage people. You're not trying to get people agitated. You're just there. You're saying hi. You're building that relationship with the not only the students, but the local businesses, I'm sure, would appreciate it, because they don't want a giant teen fight happening outside their business. They don't want the possibility of somebody getting shot on their business's doorway. So you got to work with businesses, you got to work with the law enforcement community, fire department, everybody's got to work together. But there is no excuse for these things. And I go back to my number one option: you got to really punish the instigators. Because once, you know what, you're going to send a message. And if I'm a high school senior and I go down there with my buddies and I'm out past curfew, whatever, well, there is no curfew now, but I've put this message out on social media and all of a sudden there's 300 kids down there and there's a fight. Well, if I sent that invitation and the police come knocking at my door and I get charged and I get arrested, my buddy is probably not going to do the same thing. Again, simplistic thought, I know, but sometimes that's the most effective diversion. When we come back, you might be walking around today and going, hey, flags are flying at half staff. Brian, what's the deal? I'll tell you that. But I also want to tell you, if you miss any part of the show, you need to head over to Spotify because that's where all the cool kids have their podcasts. And we're nothing if not cool kids. So you can go to Daybreak with Brian and Jamie and subscribe to our podcast and you will hear everything that has happened on the show. If you want to listen live, but you can't be near your radio or your computer, download the Civic Media app, take us with you wherever you go, and then please subscribe to our new social media pages on Facebook and Instagram. It's Daybreak with Brian and Jamie. I'll be back with more after this. It's Daybreak. I'm Brian Noonan on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
All facts, no fiction. It's Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Good morning. Welcome back. 7:52. I'm Brian Noonan. Welcome to everybody along the network. We're glad you're here, and I'd love to hear from you. Do you even pay attention to flags being at half staff, or as we used to call them, half mast? Do you even notice? Do you ever wonder why? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I would like to, before I give you the answer, I wish I had a prize because I would say the first person to text in or call that knows why the flags are at half staff today, I would give, but I don't have anything. We're working on the budget. Down the road, we'll have a prize closet that we can send you into, but right now we don't. Parker? You're a young man who lives in Madison. You, all around the state of Wisconsin today, flags are at half staff. Do you have any idea why? Well, you might cheat and look at the...
I did not look at it. Okay, because good. I saw that we were going to talk about it. I'm like, I don't know. Yeah. I would like to be educated.
Well...
I don't know. Educate right. me, sir.
Parker, you know that's what I live for.
I know.
I live to be the smartest guy in the room. But I am never... I haven't achieved that yet. But someday, I might have one nugget of information more than others. So the governor has ordered that the U.S. and Wisconsin flags be flown at half staff today for Hmong Lao Veterans Day. Yes. I'm educating myself as well because I did not know that Hmong Lao Veterans Day was a thing. But now I do. In 2021, the governor declared May 14th to be Hmong Lao Veterans Day in Wisconsin. The date was chosen because May 14th, 1975, was when the last U.S. airlift evacuated Hmong Lao soldiers from Long Teng, Laos. There you go. Take that to a cocktail party this weekend and look like you are brilliant. So now, Wisconsin has the third largest Hmong population in the United States. That, according to a news release, I know the Twin Cities has a very, very large Hmong population, which is actually where I first learned about Hmong people and the Hmong culture when I was up and spending some time in the Twin Cities. So big population there as well. Through their service and sacrifice, our Hmong Lao veteran community has earned every honor and respect we can give them by serving this nation during the Vietnam War and in many conflicts since. And for that, we owe them an enormous debt of gratitude. That is what the governor said when he declared today as Hmong Lao Veterans Day. Holds true right now. So the flags at the state capitol are going to fly at half staff from sunrise to sunset today. U.S. flags typically fly at half staff in the wake of national tragedies or after deaths of government officials or, if you're this administration, a podcaster. They'll fly them at half staff for Charlie Kirk. But then not for other leaders. Weird. But why do I digress? Why do I taint this beautiful story and honoring of our Hmong Lao veterans with comparisons to this administration's just idiocy? Because. Anyway, they also fly at half staff on Memorial Day and other national days of remembrance, including 9/11. USA.gov says that the United States flag flies at half staff or half mast when the nation or a state is in mourning. The president, a state governor, or the mayor of the District of Columbia can order flags to fly at half staff. So, I guess the president could do what he wants, according to the United States. So yeah, it's if you see that today, pause a moment, give a little thought to our Hmong Lao veterans on this day to celebrate. I have an American flag at the house. Now, I really only fly it on like Memorial Day, Labor Day, 4th of July kind of things. I would like to have it out more because I do have a spot for it. I have the flagpole holder mounted. I could fly it every day. Unfortunately, flying the flag has been co-opted by a movement that I want no part of. And when you see, it's a very sad situation, and I would love to get your thoughts on it too, if you think the way I do. I was actually shamed into it once by my daughter. She's like, why are you flying the American flag? I go, well, one, because it looks really cool. We have a really cool looking flag. Two, I am an American. Three, most importantly, despite so many objections to how things are being run, I am still proud of this country. However, on the flip side, like I said, all of a sudden, the flag has been co-opted by MAGA and its ilk that if you're flying it, you seem to give the message that you support what's going on. Whereas I firmly believe you can fly the flag in spite of what's going on to show that, yeah, but what am I going to do? Have a long conversation about my philosophy of government every time I put the flag out and somebody, oh, what are you doing? So it's become, I can't believe that our flag has become a symbol of divisiveness amongst people. And you have to explain yourself when you hang the flag. So think about that too when you look at the flag today. I don't know. I know some people who always have flown an American flag at their house, always will fly an American flag. Like I said, mine comes out for special occasions. But even yesterday, I pulled up to the house and I was like, oh, the flag, I should put out the flag. And I went, oh, I don't know. It's going to turn into a hassle. So that's where I stand. I don't know if you feel that way too. All right, if you're listening on WMDX, hey, guess what? You have to go away. But you don't really. Here's a cheat code for you. And it's really easy. Just download the free Civic Media app. You can keep listening to the show. Or you can go to Facebook and watch the stream on our Facebook page, either Civic Media's page, or more importantly, the Daybreak with Brian and Jamie page. That's where you should really go. Because then while you're there, you can like that page too. And you can watch the last hour. And if you do want to go and you're listening to Stephanie Miller and you're like, boy, I wonder what they're going to talk about in that last hour. I'd love to come back. Go subscribe on Spotify to the Daybreak with Brian and Jamie show. You can have all the podcasts of all the episodes, and you can go back and pick up what you missed and enjoy it at your leisure. But right now, I got to go because it's almost time for news, and we'll be back with You Need to Know. I'm Brian Noonan. This is the Civic Media Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.